Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that we don't live by natural means only, but by every word that has proceeded from the mouth of God. And so, Father, today may our message be a message that came out of you, Father. And Father, may your people understand what I share. May they get a hold of it, and may they experience the freedom of it that you have given me. Father, I thank you for the gospel, because it is the truth, and it is what makes us free. We thank you for that more than anything else. Father, may I deliver the word in such a way that they understand it. Choose my words. My mouth help me to convey a spiritual truth or thought across to your wonderful people. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 4, and let's go to verse 1. Romans 4, 1, if you have your Bibles. Do you have your Bibles, Sue? She says no. It's on her phone. Okay. You phone Bibles are okay. Praise God. I'm going to read it to you out of the original text and not according to the translator. I think this will help us understand what's being said a little clearer. Sometimes the translator, which is a person who takes a verse and then explains it in the natural understanding, and sometimes they miss the mark because they themselves don't understand what's being said. The Holy Spirit is the only one that really qualifies to validate or interpret properly what Scripture means. And this is an important passage here, more than what people really realize of what's being said. But we've been talking about how the enemy has a way of neutralizing us. He has a way of causing unbelief to enter into our heart and life. And it brings a great hindrance to our faith. And so I think the message today, I wish everyone would hear it, and I'm going to try to get it out as best as I can, as to the meaning of the message today that so many really need to hear. I know that when I begin to see it and hear it, I thought I'd heard it the first time, but, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, and then you get it. I remember years ago I was teaching our class on faith, and Sue and I were in school at that time, and he talked about how his first job, he was hired by sit in this room and edit the things that are preached by the Hagans and then prepare it for book material. And he said he remembers sitting there listening to his messages, and he'd go home and he'd share it with his wife, and they'd laugh and say that what he's saying is ridiculous. Such as you can write your own ticket with God. Ha 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 ha. And they were just laughing about it. But nevertheless, he had a job and he was being paid to do it. And then one day he was sitting and listening to the message, and he says he got it. So he heard it with his natural mind first, but then he heard it with his spirit. And then it said it really changed his life. And it began to really show him where God was really coming from. And it was through Kenneth Hagin's ministry, his master, teacher at that time, what the true meaning of what God was trying to get across. I want to boldly say this more than anything else before I get into actually the message itself. How many of you know that God came into your life to put a hope in you? And I'm talking about a good hope. There's what you call a natural hope, and there's also what you call a natural faith. That's why you'll find scripture that says, where Jesus even said it, and not only the disciples, but Jesus himself, he said, have the God kind of faith. Well, Kenneth Hagin preached that, and people were always asking me and him also, you know, what do you mean when you say the God kind of faith? And then finally, it said, have the God kind of faith would indicate that there's more than one type of faith. And Kenneth Hagin had explained that there's a natural faith as well as a spiritual faith. And that's called the God kind of faith. It means a faith that God gives us. But there's a natural faith that we have in natural things. Case in point, you and I sit down in this church building, how many of you know that you don't have to think about the pew giving in? It will remain there for you to sit on. Or it should, anyway. Or otherwise, we're going to have to get on Jerry's case for not stabilizing the pews. But there's a natural faith. There's a natural faith in turning a light switch on, and the lights will come on, you know. And so natural faith means that something that you have faith in through the sensual man, the natural man. And then you have what you call the God kind of faith. And there's where a lot of people really miss the mark with understanding the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is believing in something you can't see. How many of you are following what I'm saying? It literally means that you have to trust or believe in what God says in spite of what you see. So you have what you call this natural faith, and then you have what you call a spiritual faith. Just like you have a natural hope, but did you know that you also have a spiritual hope? And see, a lot of times I never really seen it this way, because I always looked at a natural hope as not doing anything for us, but a spiritual hope does a lot for us. But you know, I was meditating on some scriptures the Lord had woken me up to take a look at from a different plane. And when I began to see it and meditate on it, the Lord impressed on me to write it down according to the Greek. And so I wrote it down according to the Greek, not in Greek words, but in English words, but according to the Greek. And as I was sitting there meditating on it, I knew that when God keeps bringing scripture back to me, there's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it. Or otherwise, he wouldn't recall it to my thinking. And so I kept reading these passages, which we're going to get into. And then finally, I began to see it. And I hadn't seen it before, but I began to really see it. And then it began to make sense to me about what hope was really all about. And there is a biblical hope and a natural hope. Now, in Romans 4:1, I want to read it to you out of the Greek. What therefore shall we say? Abraham, the forefather of us, to have found according to flesh. He says, according to flesh. You know what that's saying? He's saying he has discovered something from the natural plane, the plane of flesh. He discovered something. And it goes on to say, verse 13, for not through law the promise to Abraham or to the seed of him, the heir to be of him. That's the world system. But through a righteousness of faith. Through a righteousness of faith. For if the heir are of law, faith has been emptied, and the promise has been destroyed. Isn't that interesting? He says very clearly that if we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, then our faith has something. Our faith has something. Well, what does our faith have? Well, the whole passage of Romans chapter 4 talks about Abraham and what he had discovered concerning God. Very interesting. And so we're going to read on what he has to say, but turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Like I say, I'm trying my best to put this together in such a way that you will get it, because it has done so much to free me up over this last week. I've been meditating on this for a couple of weeks, and bounced it off some people, and I wanted to see how they responded, and it helped me in a way to word my message today that you would get this. In 1 Corinthians 13, go to verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Remember when Keith Hersey was here? What was the main thing that we got out of his message? He had a self-image that he did not feel met God's requirements for him. He had that feeling within him. But God showed him through Scripture that his relationship with him was not predicated on his inability to love God properly, but God's ability to love us in spite of us. Isn't that great news? It means God loves us whether we're doing right or whether we're doing wrong. His love is still for us. Because God, when he works in his heart, he can bring change to us. We can't bring change to him. I mean, what would we change him into? There's nothing to change him to. He's perfect, perfect love. And so his love is always manifested towards us. But we're not always doing what we know we should do. And so therefore we come under what the Bible terms condemnation, self-judgment. And according to Romans 8, there's not supposed to be any mind in you that has that. We're not supposed to be self-condemned. We're supposed to discover what God has made us a joint heir to. Then it's better then to face yourself for the adjustment. You know, the Bible is so clear on the message of faith. So clear. And yet that message causes many believers to stumble. Out of two doctrines that are mentioned in Scripture, the doctrine of faith and the doctrine of speaking in other tongues, those two doctrines raise the war axe in many believers. Why is that? Well, first of all, speaking in another language, the Bible is very clear that has not passed away. But it is a benefit for the believer who wants to communicate to God apart from his own thinking. And that we cannot handle in the natural. We have got to be in control of what we know. There are some times we don't need to be in control of what we know because we don't know how to handle it properly. And so God has designed a language of our new birth to communicate to him so that he could release from him to us the correct interpretation to things. That's why speaking in other tongues gives the believer the proper interpretation to Scripture. And the natural mind cannot discover the mysteries of God. It has to be revealed to him. But then it comes down to the message of faith, because we have two kinds of faith. They have to be clearly defined from each other. In other words, natural faith has to be clearly defined upon natural things. Matter of fact, if natural things are not working, we can go in and make our adjustments to natural things to make them work right. But when it comes to the God kind of faith, in the natural, you can't make adjustments. You can only believe. Are you with me? And so the God kind of faith is beyond you. Just like speaking in tongues is beyond your natural understanding. Well, the faith of God does something. What does it do? Well, I've got good news for you. The faith of God does something to the term hope. Now, what is hope? Well, I was looking up the meanings of hope, and one was an expectation. Another one actually said, it is your dream. And another one said, it's made up of what man desires. Now, again, I always thought, well, God doesn't want nothing to do with natural hope. He wants us to give us what we call spiritual hope. And I've found, just recently, I've found that there is a new kind of hope that dawned at the appearing of Jesus. And I wasn't even aware that there was a change in this little four-letter word called hope. I always thought hope was always the same, but I never really realized, according to Scripture, that hope from the Old Testament and hope in the New Testament had made a change. And how I begin to pick this up was reading Romans 4 about what Abraham has found according to the flesh. Do you know what Abraham had within him according to the flesh? Can anybody tell me what Abraham wanted? Abraham wanted what Mike and Isabel got. Babies. Did you guys know that? They wanted a baby. He wanted to have an heir to follow his name. How many of you know that's a good thing? How many of you know that's according to the flesh? And so God, you know what God wanted? God wanted children too. We don't think of God wanting children, but the uniqueness about our hope today is that we're a child of God. So we're a child of God. So the hookup between Abraham and God was to have kids from both sides. So Abraham, you want a child? Okay, I'm going to give you one. That had a hope in him. He had a hope that he would have a child. That's what you call according to the flesh, which began to really show me that there are some things we can hope for in the natural, and God considers what we hope for in the natural. Isn't that good news? The thing is, if hope, natural hope, does not originate with God, how many of you know it could be the wrong kind of hope? You know what Hitler hoped for? That he would conquer the world. So where would he stop? God would stop him.
Right.
Amen? And God did stop him. But we know that God is not totally against natural hope. But God did something to change it from the Old Testament to the New. What did he do to change not only natural hope, but to give us a godly hope? What did he do for us to give us a hope beyond hope? Boy, I'm glad you guys are asking me these questions, or I'd end up stopping my message right here. I looked up the meanings of the word hope out of the Old Testament, New Testament, and this is what I got out of my dictionary of New Testament theology words, volume 2. Old Testament hope literally meant to long for, to wait for God, to wait long for God, to wait for God, to hope for God. It indicates a vague or a fearful anticipation. It meant mankind had a natural hope in the Old Testament. But when he came into the presence of God and connected with him, now his hope had a different expectation added to him. And that expectation was based upon his connection with God. And his connection with God became law. And he was required to appease God by keeping the law. But God knew he couldn't keep the law. And we find this in Romans, we just read it. For if the heir are of law, faith has been emptied. And the promise has been destroyed. What has been emptied of the faith? What has emptied faith when a man no longer has any hope? A natural man with natural hope, if you drain him of that natural hope, he'll want to end his life. Man cannot live without hope. He has to have a hope. He has to have an expectation. But if his faith is drained of the right kind of anticipation, then he'll want to end it. And we find that many people are doing that very thing because they have drained themselves from a hope of a future that will be blessed. Street people right now, they don't have any hope. All they do is survive on a day-to-day basis of what hope they do have. They hope that the person would hand them money outside the car window that would come to more than a buck. You know, if I was sitting there holding a sign saying, help me, my expectation would be, wouldn't it be nice if somebody rolled their window down and gave me a $100 bill? That would be a hope. That would keep me going from day to day. But what happens if you come to the end of your hope? The end of the road of having any hope at all? How many can agree that's pretty depressing? Because you don't see a future. You don't see anything. Well, here's what Abraham found according to his faith. He has found something very interesting. And this is when I was started to reading the passages, I was shocked at what I had not seen that was always there. Kind of like Bob Yen in hearing the message of Kenneth Hagin and finally hearing it. What he was saying, putting it together. So with that thought in mind, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Why did he put faith before hope? Because the faith that we have in our Heavenly Father, it comes with putting something in our hope, and it's called substance. Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It literally means that when Jesus came, he did something to hope that had been here before him. And the hope that was before him was vague. It didn't have substance. It only had a future, a foreseeing ahead. But when Jesus came, he did something with our hope. He put substance in it. That's why he said, faith, if it's not emptied, has a hope in it. And our faith should have hope in it. Isn't that good news? So let's read. I'm going to read it to you out of the Greek. Verse 17. As it has been written, underline that. As it has been written. Let me ask you something. Is that saying that God spoke? Or is it saying something was written? You can talk. Is it saying it had been written? Or is it saying it had been spoken? Read your Bible. It says it was written. How many can agree to the writing? Now, it's important that you get this. Watch this. As it has been written. He's talking to a father of many nations. I have appointed thee before God, whom he believe, the one quickening the dead and calling things not being as being. Verse 18, who beyond hope, unhoped, believed, so that he should become him, Abraham, a father of many nations, according to the, what? The thing having been written, said. According to the thing having been said. It was written, what we're reading was written according to what had been said to Abraham. Can I hear an amen? Is this above your head? Now watch this. This will bless you. So that he should become him, a father of many nations, according to the thing having been said, so shall be the seed of thee. What is he referring to? He's referring to the thing that he hoped for in the natural according to his flesh. God was saying, I'm going to make you a father, not only according to the flesh, but I'm going to also make you a father of many nations. In other words, little Abraham's vine was hoping for one kid, and he said, no, you're going to have many kids. Can you imagine? You'd be lucky to receive in your hope one child. And God said, no, let's not stop there. Let's go on. He said, because my kids, I'm paraphrasing, because my children are going to come out of your child. What? Yeah. I'm going to give you what you hope for in the natural. A baby boy. And guess what? Your baby boy is going to give me children. Yep. Now I'm going to tell you something, people. When God starts putting substance to your hope, guess what? Your little pre-brain is all centered around what you're hoping for. But God can go beyond what you think or ask. His mind on you is greater than that. He looks beyond what you're seeing in the natural to do more abundantly and above all that you could even ask or think. That is a position that God holds with you and me. Woo! A God kind of hope. Not a natural hope, a God kind of hope. And the natural hope can benefit from it. Now watch this. I love this. Ooh.
So shall be the seed of thee, and not weakening in faith. Now our translators missed it here. I don't know why I put not in there. But he considered the body of himself to have died. Why? Being about 100 years. Being about 100 years. And God's telling me, I'm going to have a kid. And not only that, but out of my kid will come his kids. You know what God told me? When I came down here with this message, God said, give it to them. He says, because many of them have a hope that they still have not believed in. Because they hadn't joined God to it. There isn't one of you in this auditorium, not one of us, in this auditorium, that don't have a hope for somebody. Not only just yourself, but for somebody else. How about your loved ones who reject God? How about your loved ones that live like devils? Well, who's going to have a hope for them? Is it all up to God to pick and choose? Or is it up to us to go to God and ask God for something like Abraham did? And you know something? Did you know Abraham didn't even ask God for a kid? God informed him of what he already knew was in his heart. Did you guys know that? Did you know that sometimes, just to encourage you, God will look at your heart and see that you have need of something, and in spite of you even asking him for it, he'll give it to you and shock you? How many have ever been shocked by God? I've been shocked by him many times. All of a sudden, you mean the very thing I was thinking about? How many of you know that that's God's way of saying, I love you? I love you so much that I even think about every thought that you have. And so God did something for your hope. He gave it substance so that you, through faith, can inherit what he has promised you. And what he has promised you complements what you hope for. I don't know about you, but we all ought to go into a Holy Ghost dance right now in this auditorium. We ought to. Why? Because we ought to get a revelation that God cares about what you hope for. Even from a natural plane. I'll never forget a missionary and his wife coming to our Assembly of God church years ago. Aaron might remember who they were, but she was over in the mission field, and she had a craving for peanut butter. She wanted a jar of peanut butter. I can understand that because I love peanut butter. Ask my wife. I'm a peanut butter and jelly guy. Somebody take me out to the finest restaurant and I'll stick my tongue out at the food, but take me home and feed me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with a glass of milk and I'm home, baby. And she said she just craved peanut butter. And one day in the mail, she gets this package. And she opens it up. And there's 2 large jars of peanut butter with a little note. I don't know why God put this on my heart, but he told me to send you 2 jars of peanut butter. And I have no idea what this is about. Let me know if I'm a whack job. I'm paraphrasing. And she sat and bawled and wept just at the fact that God saw her heart in hope for peanut butter. You know, Jerry Sharp was telling me when he was over in Iraq, he was on guard duty or something, and he was walking along, and there was like a windstorm, and he couldn't see very well, and he had a craving for potato chips. He wanted a potato chip so bad. And when he was telling me this story, I said, go on, tell me more, Jerry. And he says, I'm sitting there with my rifle and walking along and craving a potato chip so bad. And I hear this pit-pat-pit-pat-pit-pat-pit-pat coming across the sand. And he said, what is that noise? Is there somebody coming around here or what? And come flowing right up from the wind to his feet was a bag of potato chips. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? He said, I said, are you kidding me, Jerry? Is that a true? He said, that's a true story. I had potato chips at my feet. You can ask them. Oh, well, they're not here. I guess they're, are they here? Or did they leave? Oh, they had to leave for Michigan. Okay. Now watch this. Souls that shall be the seed of thee, and not weakening in faith, he considered the body of himself to have died, being about 100 years, and the death, not dying, but the death of the womb of Sarah. But he did not decide against the promise of God by unbelief. Now watch this. But was empowered by faith, giving glory to God. Did you know that when you have faith in God and you're believing in something that you're hoping for, God's desire is to see it, that you get your hope fulfilled. You want to know why God wants your hope fulfilled? Because he wants you to go blab to everybody and give him glory for what you had desired that he gave you. How many of you would like a jar of peanut butter? Really, not the jar of peanut butter, but the type of the peanut butter. Well, you can have it. Providing you do something. You don't empty your faith. You keep it full of hope. You keep it with an expectation because God did something for our hope that he didn't do in the Old Testament. What did he do? Are you ready for this? When I looked up the meaning of the New Testament word for hope, here's what they said. Hope in the New Testament is a revelation of Christ as a new situation. You want me to say that again? It is a revelation of Christ as a new situation. It means situations changed. The situation has changed. The situation has changed. Are you ready for this? All the New Testament witnesses agree that through the promise or through the coming of the promised Christ, the situation described in terms of hope in the Old Testament had been fundamentally altered. In the Redeemer, the world's day of salvation has broken in as God's has broken in as God's great day. It was a day when Jesus came to take the test for you and me and to pass the test and turn around and give us his grade so that our hope would have substance. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know what this means when it comes to praying for people? Do you know what this means for coming to believing for your loved one? It means that you have a right to hope for the right outcome and the right end for your loved ones. Woo! Watch this. Now, faith is. It's not an expectation of that what is future. God did something to our hope today to put it into the realm of now. Faith is.
Time's not up.
What was previously future has now in him become present for faith.
Somebody said, well, name a few things that our hope now has that didn't in the Old Testament. Thank you. Number one, justification. I don't care what you think about yourself. You've been justified in God. It isn't from what you're thinking about yourself to him. It's what he thinks about you from himself. You've been justified. Matter of fact, there's a scripture according to Romans 4, verse 24 that says, he couldn't even come out of the grave until you had been justified. That ought to make you shout. I have been justified. Here's another one. Are you ready? Personal relationship to God as his child. You're his child. You're not Lonnie Summers. Lonnie Summers is a child of God. The least person in here that thinks highly of himself. I don't care how high you think of yourself. God has one position with you in mind, and that is you have been justified in spite of what you think. Oh, this one. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, listen, the Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't figure out that. Well, the Holy Spirit's been here since Genesis. What are you talking about, Jesus? He cannot come until he's gone. What's the matter with you? Because the Holy Spirit never dwelt in the heart of man. But when you've been justified, you've been born again, the Holy Spirit now can move in to his home. He belongs there. He belongs in you. He belongs in me. The Holy Ghost belongs in us. Talk about hope. Ooh, that's substance, baby. Here's another one. You're a new people of God. You're a new people of God. You're a brand new people of God. Here's another one. That's why the New Testament hope is absent from Revelation. It is for a different reason. We are to describe New Testament hope as rebirth to a living hope. That's in Peter. To a living hope. Our hope now has substance. It has life. That's why it's called now faith is the substance of hope. Woo! Now you ready? Let's go on and read some more here. Being about 100 years and the death of the womb of Sarah, but he did not decide against the promise of God. What did that mean? I'm going to make you not only give you what you want, but I'm going to have your kid give me what I want. Now listen. And he decided, but he did not decide against the promise of God by unbelief, but was empowered by faith, giving glory to God. Why did he give glory back to God? He was showing us that what God said came to pass, and that which was against hope, he believed on that hope of what God said to him. You know what? It was against his hope. What was against his hope? We read it. What was against his hope of having a child? I'll tell you what was against his hope. He's 100 years old.
I'll tell you what else was against his hope. Sarah couldn't bear children. And he said that God did something to give substance to Abraham's hope. And that was, you're going to have a kid anyway, because I'm the one who calls dead things to life. And Abraham got it. Wow! I'm going to have a kid. I don't care how old I am. Come over here, Sarah. Can you imagine what Sarah thought? Oh, my gosh. She probably thought, that guy's ugly, man. I don't want to lay with him no more. I could see his bone. If he get over here, we got a job to do. We got to make us a baby. God said we could. Now, you know, it's natural for all of us to do things in the natural. Sarah knew that she had a dead womb. And so she goes to Abraham and says, God told you you're going to have a kid? There ain't no way. There's Hagar. That must be where God wants it. Listen, God doesn't want you to perform anything out of your natural. Because if he's given substance to your hope for that which is spiritual, listen, you don't work for it, it's dead. You don't give God the glory, you give yourself the glory. And there are people whose faith is, oh, I'm going to prove to them that God can heal me. No. I want to show the world that God loves me so much because I need a healing, I got it. Now listen. He said, well, let me get over here to Hebrews. Did you know in the Hebrews it says that the forerunner is for us, who is Jesus? The forerunner he was talking to about there, it's a very interesting forerunner. He wasn't talking about Joshua or Moses before Joshua. He wasn't talking about that kind of forerunner. The forerunner he was speaking of was one who would tie a rope around his waist on the bow of a ship and dive into the water with that rope and swim to the shore between the rocks and would anchor the rope on a shore rock or something stable on the shore. And then he would tug on the line and the guys on the boat would pull the boat in between the rocks so it wouldn't be torn to pieces. Are you following me? And that was the forerunner that he's talking about here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Let's go there. He says, but that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope, lay hold of the hope set before us. What hope that was set before us? This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, Jesus having become the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. What he was saying, Jesus went into heaven with the rope of our faith and anchored it to the throne of God and said, now you have your faith anchored on substance that you can pull on it until you reach the throne room of God with it. Glory to God. I'm trying to get you to see that your natural faith has as much substance as spiritual faith if it's in God. If it's a God kind of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at as it's been written to close. Verse 17. As it is written. Now jump down to verse 20. He did not waver in the promises of God through unbelief, but was empowered by faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to do.
And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written. Notice, when God spoke to Abraham, it was written. Now watch. For his sake alone, that it was imputed to him. But also, for who? Say it real loud. Let it come out of your mouth. It was also written for us. What? It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised through the justification of us. He capped it off by saying that our faith, our hope now has substance because we've been justified through him. Because he took our offenses and removed them before God so that our faith has solid footing. You know, all these positive mind people that go around and say, you got to change the way you think, and they're using Bible principles. I'm going to tell you something, people. It's about time you revisit your hope. It's about time you revisit a hope that God has given you. And it's about time that if God has spoken something to you about hope, that you agree with what he said and not with what you think. I'm going to tell you something. If you're believing in what you see, that can be pretty, and I'm going to say it, discouraging. But if you have a hope in you and you put God to that hope, that can be pretty encouraging. I hope what I said to you today helps. I hope you realize that this was written down not for Abraham only, but God decided, not only did Abraham see it, I want you to see it too. How many of you have been discouraged with people? The rest of you hadn't, but anyway. I'll pray for your lying. People can be pretty discouraging. Especially when they have ongoing behavior. Thank God he has done something about ongoing behavior. He's ignored it to fulfill your hope. God's more powerful than what you give him credit for, people. That's why it says have the faith of God. Why? Because there's a kind of faith that's natural, and there's a kind of faith that's godly. And I got news for you. My faith is not going to be predicated on what people do. My faith is going to be predicated on what God said to hope for. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I thank you, Father, for the God kind of hope. I thank you, Father, for the God kind of faith. I thank you, Father, that love motivates both. Father, I thank you for your love towards us. I thank you that it could not be fueled unless it was fueled by love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give an altar call on this one. But every one of us in this building, including myself, we have allowed the enemy to come against our hope. Listen, it's about time you give up being 100 years old. It's about time you give up the dead in where their womb is found. It's about time you let God speak to you and give substance to the God kind of hope that they need. Hallelujah. And I got news for you. That which is against hope will turn around and be hope for somebody else. Because it not only fulfilled Abraham's hope for his son, but it fulfilled God's wanting children through that son. Your hope can birth many, many generations of blessing if you let it. Hallelujah. So Father, today as we stand before you, hallelujah, and we humbly bow our head to you, Father. We lift those people, we lift those things up to you that seemingly are not. That seemingly there is no hope in them. But Father, there's a hope that we can allow ourselves to go to, that you give substance to it. We hope for our loved ones. We hope for them, Father. We don't want anybody to be left behind. We hope for them, Father, in spite of them. We pray for them in spite of them. Because we have a hope that you work on our behalf for them. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for coming and pay the price even for their offenses, so that we could have a hope built in us and give our faith substance and it fueled by your love for them as well as us. Father, right now, with every head bowed, if you can think of something that you need to repent of concerning abandoning your hope for the things that you want to see change, now's the time to do it. Just take a moment and think how you've allowed your hope for things or people to just elude you when God knows what you have a desire and a need for. He's there to give substance to the hope that he wants you to have fulfilled. Think about it. Think about it. And you'll see a change throughout this whole auditorium. You'll see a change in your loved ones, in your family. Now I'm going to trust that you did that. Also, if there's anybody here that has never said the sinner's prayer, never had the privilege of giving God a chance to work in your life, we're going to give you time to come forward this morning. We'd love to pray with you. And if there's anybody here that has allowed themselves to grow cold in the Lord and has given up hope that he has for them, we'll also make room at the altar for you as well. It gives you the greatest opportunity to come back where God wants you to be, full of life and full of hope, not just for yourself, but for others. And if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you what, people, it's incredible. It empowers you to achieve what you need to in God. So if you've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language, feel free to come up. Anybody? Now's the time to step out and come on up. We'd be glad to minister to you. Anybody? Hallelujah. Now I'm going to believe individually every one of you have repented of losing hope. You pick that hope back up. You pick it up again. Not only for yourself, but for your loved ones. You pick it up and you put God into it. Hallelujah. Well, with that said, you can go. If you need healing, come on up.